Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We've been taking your calls. I'm going to start to pivot a little bit, but I just wanted to address the sell of Outkick to Fox. If you're interested, you can go dive into the podcast, search out my name, Clay Travis, search out Outkick. Also wanted to tell you as we are rolling through the program here, a lot of questions. We get this all the time, but I'll address it here. How do you listen to the show? If you listen on Sirius XM, Channel 83 goes to television. And by the way, that's because it's not a Fox Sports Radio full channel. They have a lot of television on the radio. So, for instance, you can listen to Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp on Undisputed on Sirius XM. And at 7:30, they go to the FS1 shows. So you can get us on Sirius 218, XM 202. And you can stream us all the time, by the way, at the iHeartRadio app. Anywhere across the country, but Sirius, where the whole show, people are saying on to, and I appreciate all of you sending tweets to me at Clay Travis. Just checked it during the break. Sirius 218, XM 202. So if you love this show and you're listening on channel 83 and you want to be able to listen to it longer, the all 3 hours are on Sirius 218 and XM 202. In addition to channel 83, I know it's one of those numbers down lower on the dial. 83 is, so a lot of you may hang out and spend a lot of time there. All right, so that is that story. We took calls from the callers. We're going to get to the Animal Thunderdome here in a minute, but I'll bring in the crew. Dub, of course. Does anybody know where Dub exactly is? He may have told me, but I forgot. But he's out yesterday, and I was out yesterday, so that worked fine. But he's also out today. Does anybody know where he is?
Mr. World Traveler. Yes. I have no idea.
Yeah. I knew Dub was an interesting dude when he was overseas in France for the Ryder Cup when we were live on the air.
Yeah, and that's when he was brand new to the show.
Yeah, that's right. But he's been, I'm not even kidding. I mean, he's in the 99.9th percentile for travel. Dub has been on airplane flights basically every week since the country shut down. I can't believe how much he travels. All right. Any thoughts, Danny G? Do you think that I'll change at all?
I highly doubt that. As I was reading Outkick over the past couple of days, that seemed to be the number one concern of a lot of the readers who were leaving comments. But if they knew anything about you the way we do, and I've worked with you off and on for the past 9 years at two different networks, I don't think you would have signed that deal if the company was going to be able to tell you what to do.
Also, it wouldn't make any sense for anybody to buy Outkick and say, I want you to do something different.
Right. The whole reason they wanted your brand is because it's unique.
Right. And because we're being successful. It doesn't make sense for a business to acquire another business. Let's say you ran a hamburger stand and somebody buys your hamburger place. If they came in and they were like, hey, you should switch to chicken, you'd be like, you know, we do hamburgers here. And so it's the very essence of business to give the customer more of what they like. So, we're going to keep doing exactly what we're doing now, just giving them more of what they already like. Any worries in your mind, Eddie? Do you think that I will change in terms of what I say or what Outkick says?
None for me at all. And I loved what you said about, if you thought you were outspoken before, now that you've got the FU money, which we'd all love to have, and that's not going to change. Why would that change?
It would be the opposite, right? I mean, yeah. I think there are a lot of people out there listening right now who said, boy, if I ever had X, then I would do Y. I love what I do. I mean, again, I'm not going to change what I do. But if you really, there's a lot of people out there, I think, who worry about being canceled. And they're like, well, I'm not going to say what I really think because I'm a teacher and I might lose my job. Or I work in finance and I might lose my job. And whatever job you have, I think there's a lot of people out there who are nervous when it comes to social media and saying exactly what they think, because if they say the wrong thing, and whatever the wrong thing is can shift day to day, right? We have this constantly evolving standards for what acceptable speech and what unacceptable speech is. And so there are a lot of people out there who think, man, if I had the money, I would say exactly what I think. So why would you think now that I have money that I would change?
Yeah, why would you change?
Like, it would be much less. Like, if anything, the way that you would change. I'm a big believer that money makes you more of what you already are, both good or bad, right? Like, there are a lot of people out there who would get into a ton of trouble if they suddenly had the money to get into the trouble. And a lot of you are like, yep, I can see that. It could be you. It could be one of your buddies. Money makes you more of what you already are. So if anything, I'm going to be a more of a version of what I already am because I don't have any fear about needing money.
What about the Spotify aspect? I've been seeing a lot of comments like that online. Like, well, Joe Rogan thought he was going to have control and they're obviously editing a lot of his episodes.
Yeah, I mean, well, I can't speak for that. All I can tell you, I talked about this earlier. They've never edited anything that I've ever said on Fox Sports Radio. So I don't know why that would change. Like I said earlier.
As far as you know.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. As far as I know, I don't listen to the podcast. It's possible that nothing I say actually goes on the podcast. It could just be, they could be putting on Lakers games during our podcast for all I know.
There's more incentive to listen to the podcast because we have more leeway to leave certain words. Like, for instance, the last time Petros was on, he said a word that we had to dump on the live radio, but we were able to leave it in the podcast.
Yeah, if anything, I've thought about that before. I mean, I don't think FCC regulations make sense. Not that I sit around and curse all day long or even curse that often, but I think on radio, the idea that you guys can watch all this craziness that happens on HBO or streaming services or whatever it is, but that we're still bound by 1950s standards for what appropriate speech is, I think that's a little bit ridiculous, personally. That's not my choice. I mean, I'm bound by certain rules and regulations in order to do television and in order to do radio. And you have to stay within the bounds of what's considered acceptable communication standards. And so, they're certainly more expansive on the internet in terms of what you can say and do. But I can only speak to, working for Don Martin, Scott Shapiro, and Julie Talbot. I mean, we've been doing this show for over 5 years now, and I can honestly say at no point have they ever said, hey, don't talk about this. You need to talk about this instead. I've never had that conversation. And so I can't imagine, you would think if we were going to have a conversation like that, to their credit, it would have been when we first started and nobody had ever heard me on Fox Sports Radio. Now, you heard, if we open up the phone lines, I mean, we've got an entire army of people that are in absolute love and will fight for this show. So the idea that they would suddenly come in and say, hey, you can't talk about X or Y or Z. And in fact, I mean, I have written into my contracts that I have the ability to say, I mean, that's my job. So the idea that I would give away creative freedom or the ability to say what I think on any day about any subject, that's the thing that matters the most to me. So I have had written into my contracts for years that I have the ability to control what the radio show consists of. And that's not going to change. I mean, I understand that's a fear. But it's not a reality. I mean, that's something that one of the most important aspects to me is to be able to say exactly what I think every single day. And yeah, it's an interesting point about Joe Rogan and Spotify. I know Joe Rogan's podcast is wildly popular, and I don't listen to that podcast, but my understanding is they're going back and scrubbing things after the fact.
Yeah,
which I don't approve of, and I guarantee you Joe Rogan doesn't approve of it either. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not a listener of his program, so I can't speak to, hey, does it sound any different on Spotify than it did when he was on iTunes or whatever whoever distributed it before. But I can tell you, for better or worse, our show is not going to sound any different. Anything from you, Roberto? Anything you're worried about?
I don't think you're going to change at all. No. A question, though. You said you would never change houses. Now that you got a little more money there, are you still going to keep that little house that you have now?
Well, this is not a little house. This is not a small house that we got now. No, I love my house. No, I don't want to move.
But what did your kids think? Did they ask you for a bigger house or anything?
No, it's funny. My 10-year-old said, oh, now nobody's going to know who you are. my 13-year-old said, Dad sold out Kick. And then my 10-year-old's first thought was, oh, no, now nobody's going to know who Dad is.
Oh, he thought he lost his perks at the stadium.
Yeah, that's 100% right. Because he was like, we were talking about going to the Atlanta Braves, and the Atlanta Braves love Outkick. And so, like, he's gotten over the years to get to meet athletes and everything else because of me. So, like,
including
most 10-year-olds.
Including his favorite, Derrick Henry.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's got to meet Derrick Henry a couple of times. But his first thought, like most 10-year-olds, is, you know, how's this going to impact me?
I know what your house looks like because when you sent us our bonus.
Oh, you looked it up on Zillow.
My wife said, "Oh, where's the envelope? Oh, I'll put it. I threw it away in the trash. Oh, let me get it." She gets it and then she goes into her Zillow and starts googling your address. And says, wow, this house is pretty big.
Stalker.
Yeah, I was like, stalker, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
that's women for you, though, man.
Yeah, no doubt. It's but I would have moved. But I've said this before. If somebody knocked on my, I'm a capitalist. If somebody knocked on my door and offered me more than I think my house is worth, I would consider selling. Now I wouldn't, because the money that I would make off the house doesn't really matter. But I would consider selling. I don't want to move. One, I love our house. Two, we've got such a I've got a home television studio. I've got a home radio studio. The process, and you guys know this, the tech disaster that I feel like any new house would entail. It's only for like 4 years on this show, nothing worked. Like the phones didn't work. At any point in time, like when we had the president of the United States on the first time, people were like, were you nervous? And I said, I was nervous that we were going to accidentally hang up on him or that our phones wouldn't work when the president called in. So that's I don't think anything in our day to day life, kids are, we're going to be in the same neighborhood. Kids are going to be going to the same public schools, all that stuff. I do think the one thing that I might buy is a ridiculous place directly on the beach. So that's my one luxury.
Another
that
one
I might undertake.
Because you already have one on the beach.
I've got a – it's not directly on the beach.
Okay. All right.
Like you don't look out over the water.
What is it, a block away?
Yeah.
Got it.
I'm talking about like
– that sucks.
Yeah, a block from the beach. I mean, I'm a a block away from the beach now. Next step is beachfront. So that is that's probably the only thing I'm going to do. In terms of adding like, oh, I'm going to go buy this or I'm going to go buy that. Like, I'm going to go straight beachfront. So I'm going to be able to sit, look out over the ocean. Can't do that now. That's really the only thing. So I'm excited. I just got to hope that I don't die in the next couple of years and continue to and my wife doesn't poison me and decide she wants to be with somebody, the pool boy or something. I mean, that's the fear. All right, so I think we have got some Animal Thunderdome. Is this correct?
Yeah, let's go.
Are you going to change? No, we're still going to do the Animal Thunderdome. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
This
is Animal Thunderdome.
All right, what you got for me?
Well, you were just mentioning how you're scared about your wife killing you. There is some death in the Thunderdome.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately.
It's probably a kid. Because you bring the worst.
Let me ask you this. So there's three stories I have that end badly and one that has a good ending. Which would you like first?
I think we should finish the segment with a happy ending, right?
That's like what I was thinking.
Yeah,
speaking of happy endings, not the kind that Robert Kraft got and Sean Watson got. Hey-o. Did you guys see, by the way, that I know Disneyland opened back up in L.A. where you guys are.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that people are upset because Prince Charming in the new Snow White ride kisses Snow – which the – spoiler alert – Snow White ends with Prince Charming and they ride off into the sunset. Snow White is kissed by Prince Charming. It saves her after she's killed by the, so again,
without
spoiler
her
alert,
consent,
the witch.
Because she's sleeping.
I'm offended.
Yes, did you see this?
Yes.
People are mad because she's sleeping and she didn't consent to the kiss that saves her life.
He was
life.
Waking her know, up man. By kissing her. What, do you want to keep her asleep forever?
He gave her a roofie.
Not that we know of. Who knows how, maybe that Prince Charming was really not that. But yes, there's a huge controversy at Disneyland over people complaining that Snow White didn't consent to the kiss. So the fairy tale ending, you like to hear, fairy tale endings are great, but Prince Charming kissing Snow White while she was asleep and or potentially dead and bringing her back to life, that was offensive. So just so you know, trying to keep tabs on what's culturally appropriate and not, people are mad at Disneyland at the Snow White ride. Can you imagine being on a Snow White ride and being offended by something on the Snow White ride?
Losers.
I mean, just think about that for a minute. Like, I mean, like the same thing happened with Pirates of the Caribbean and the Splash Mountain. People on the ride offended by the details of a kid's ride. I can't imagine listening to these people. It's just like, if you took the biggest losers on the planet and put them all in one room together, that's Twitter. Just, I mean,
next thing they're going to be offended by, it's a small world after all.
What's offensive about it's a small world after all?
Well, they're going to get offended because it's every race and culture out there is represented on that ride. So,
oh, in like a stereotypical way?
People are just going to get offended because they get offended for everything, man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like these companies need to just start ignoring losers. There should be, every company should have a director of common sense, yeah, who they come to, and you're just like, hey, should we ignore this or respond to it? And yeah, almost always the answer should be ignore this. The entire job.
We need a grow some balls movement.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt.
All right, so I'll transition from that sadness, yeah, to this sad news. Carl Mock was a wilderness guide who lived in West Yellowstone, Montana. He died from injuries suffered when he was mauled by a grizzly bear. Mock was 40, fishing alone near the Baker's Hole campground, 3 miles from West Yellowstone. He was able to call 911. He was rushed to an Idaho Falls hospital, according to the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department. He died in the hospital. Mock was a guide for backcountry adventures who described him as a dear friend in Facebook posts.
That's off. So do we know, did the bear sneak up on him? Like, do we know the details of how the attack happened?
They didn't give the details of the attack, but a GoFundMe page was created by a friend who says that this is what really stinks. He suffered a massive stroke and died in the hospital 2 days after the attack. The death was kind of shocking, he wrote, because surgeries had actually gone well.
Oh, wow. So maybe the stress of his, yes, body from the attack was what ended up actually killing him and not the grizzly bear itself.
Yeah, now they did say that he had bear spray with him, but it was unclear whether or not he was able to use it. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Park officials closed the area where Mock was attacked. They sent staff to investigate where they ultimately shot and killed the grizzly. A statement says the bear was described as an older male grizzly who charged at 7 investigators when they entered the area. The group included game wardens and specialists. And here we go. There are some people in that area up in arms that they killed this grizzly.
If a grizzly bear kills a person, who in the world can be upset that we went and killed the grizzly bear?
Yeah. I have another black bear story, and it's the same thing. At the end of that article, there were some locals upset about them killing, and I'll get to that. There's another horrible death here. This is Thomas Hicks, who was mowing the lawn outside his home in Breckenridge, 130 miles west of Dallas, when he encountered a beehive, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So his wife told him, please don't go in the back area. He was going out to mow the lawn. And she said, stay away from the back. There are bees out there. And he said, I won't, I promise, his wife told KTAB. So his wife, Zori, leaves for the grocery store. He starts mowing as she was leaving. When she returned home, she found her husband screaming and covered in bees.
Ugh.
He was covered in, like, I mean, you couldn't even see his back and his whole head. He was just covered in killer bees, she said. She calls 911. She goes over to try to get the bees off of him. He unfortunately went into cardiac arrest and passed away by the time emergency responders arrived. His wife was taken to the hospital to be treated for multiple bee stings. Emergency personnel then went door to door to ask neighbors to be quiet until the bees could hive back up and calm down, according to the Breckenridge Fire Department.
I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah, with the help of a local beekeeper, firefighters were able to destroy the hive that was in a hollowed out tree in their backyard, and finally they removed it.
Oh my God. I mean, these are awful. Did, yeah, you find the two worst stories,
no,
on the planet?
I said I had 3 bad ones and one that ended well.
We're not even through the bad yet.
No, we're not. Now, was
is this the worst one?
It was the last time we did Thunderdome. You accused me of being soft because there weren't any deaths.
So now you got to just like throw deaths right in everybody's face as they start off the morning?
I don't make up the news. I just report what's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Colorado
Thanks,
woman.
Thanks, Walter Cronkite.
Colorado woman walking dogs is killed and partially eaten by bear and cub is the headline.
A cub?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a serial killing bear if I ever saw one. So where was she?
So this 39-year-old woman was found dead near Highway 550 near Trimble, north of Durango, Colorado. Her boyfriend told authorities she had taken their two dogs for a walk early in the morning. When he returned home after work, it was around 8:30 p.m., he discovered the dogs had come back without her.
Oh.
Unable to call her, he began searching. He found her mauled body by the side of the road an hour later. CPW officers were summoned and they found signs of consumption on the body as well as an abundance of black bear droppings and hair at the scene. Investigators scrambled a dog team from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Wildlife Services to search the area and to begin tracking the black bear. They tracked down an adult female with two cubs and euthanized all three. The bodies were sent to CPW's Wildlife Health Lab in Fort Collins, where a pathologist found human remains in the stomach of the mother and one of the cubs.
Ugh.
Yeah, and so, like I said earlier, this is another story where some locals were upset that they euthanized all three of these, and the local authorities are like, look, if you kill a person in our state, we're killing the bear.
Yeah, that seems like a good move.
Yeah.
So also, you
they
don't
didn't
want-
back down.
It's like when we had the tiger, you know, we should get him back. Shafali Khan, I believe, or whatever his exact name was.
Yeah, the tiger hunter. Once they get a taste of
Once they
human
get a taste
blood,
for human blood, they're yeah. more likely to kill humans again. So that's why you got to get them. All right. So you do have a positive story here? Yes.
All right. Animal services officers in Iowa were called to an apartment complex on a report of an alligator on the loose. The Animal Rescue League of Iowa said animal services officers were dispatched to the apartment complex in Des Moines on a report of a 4 to 5 foot loose alligator in the parking lot. An alligator in Iowa, right? I mean, they must have been scared to death. Residents of this Des Moines apartment complex walked out and were startled to see this large reptile, the ARL said in a Facebook post. They immediately reported it and waited anxiously until the animal services officer arrived. The alleged alligator, Clay, was a 4 foot long plush toy. There's a picture of this. It's great. The large stuffed.
Can you tell it's a toy?
I'm gonna tweet this out and I'll tag you at Clay Travis and at Danny G Radio on Twitter. I want your opinion to see what you think. I mean, I'm sorry, but if I saw this, I wouldn't, because of the head on this plush toy, I would not think it was real. These people in Iowa obviously have no experience looking at alligators.
Ridiculous.
The stuffed alligator is now safe in the care of the ARL Animal Services.
Think about how disappointed the cops were that responded there. You know they wanted
right.
it to be an alligator. Like, we got an alligator in an apartment in Iowa. They're like, oh, this is going to be an awesome call. Like, this is going to be fun.
Yep.
And then they show up and it's a stuffed alligator.
Dreaming
and
of some boots.
Yeah, I would just think it would be fun. If you're a cop in Iowa, I would think, you know, of all the things you could have to respond to, alligator in the parking lot would be a pretty fun call to get. I'm sure there's not a code for that in Iowa on the police radar. All right. When we come back, John Morosi is going to join us. He's our Major League Baseball insider. That is the Animal Thunderdome. A lot of darkness, but at least a little bit of sunshine there at the end. This is Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Joined now by John Morosi, our Major League Baseball insider. John, a lot of expectations for the LA Dodgers. Looking at the standings, the entire National League is kind of a mess, right? I mean, there's basically no teams that have really distinguished themselves in a substantial way. But how nervous should Dodger fans be about the team falling to 17-15, third in the NL West?
Well, Clay, good morning. And first of all, congratulations again on your great news this week with Outkick. This is a tremendous tribute to your work ethic and creativity. So well done, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that. It's exciting for the family. But Still up super early in the morning doing radio, so nothing.
There you go.
Nothing going to change in the grand scheme.
Look forward to continuing our conversations during the course of the year, as always. And yeah, so for the Dodgers, it's interesting, Clay. A couple things. Number one, I actually went back and looked and said, okay, well, how long has it been since the Dodgers were anywhere other than first or second place after this many games of the season? And interestingly enough, it actually happened in 2019. So it wasn't that long ago that they had a similar stretch where fans were asking what was going on and where they go from here. I think what's different about this, Clay, is the injury to Bellinger, which has obviously sidetracked the team early on, and then Mookie Betts not being able to play at full strength. Of course, he had the arm issue after the hit-by-pitch. He had the back injury as well. And Mookie is one of the best people in the game, and he just wants to be on the field for his team. And I think that we realize just watching him, he's not 100% healthy right now. And so it's a combination of when you've got an MVP out and then an MVP who's not at full strength, it's going to hurt your team. And I think on the mound, too, we have seen some injuries. Of course, the Dustin May injury out for the season, Tommy John surgery, which he's going to have next week. There's just a number of injuries and tough breaks early on. And then I think on the flip side, Clay, the Padres have been about as advertised, and the Giants have been a lot better. So it's going to be a tougher road for the Dodgers this year. They may still win the championship. When they're healthy, there's probably still not a better 1-26 roster. But I also think that there are a couple unforeseen things, such as injuries, and then the quality of the Giants, rather, that has made this a much more difficult year. And I do think some degree of concern is appropriate if you're a Dodger fan right now.
Given that we've played roughly 30, 32, whatever the exact number is for everybody's favorite team, staying on the National League, would you change your assessment of the best teams? So you just said the Dodgers may still win the World Series. I think you picked the Braves to win the World Series. Pitching has been weak there. How would you assess the first 30-ish games? Would you make any changes based on your preseason expectations in the National League?
You know, Clay, not yet. I feel actually pretty decent about my preseason picks, which is odd because I almost always get them wrong. I notably did predict Shohei Ohtani to win the AL MVP, and that was one. Of course, that was just my own idea. I don't actually stand to gain anything from it, but that was I feel good looking at how things have gone so far. But I think you look at the rest of the circumstances in the NL, and for the Braves, and as you know, Clay, watching that team so closely, with all the injuries they've had, Max Fried just coming back, Mike Soroka, of course, also being injured. They're a team that has really underperformed what they can do, and yet they're only a game under 500. And the first place team in that division at the moment, the Phillies, they haven't even played that well either. And so if your assessment coming into the season was that the NL East was going to basically be very well balanced and that the winner is going to maybe win somewhere in the neighborhood 87, 88 games because they're just going to beat up on each other all season long, that's basically what we've seen so far. There's only 2.5 games separating first and last place in that division. Everybody's still in there. So I think my feeling on the Braves, especially once they get more of a normal routine of Fried and Soroka pitching at some point, then I think they're going to really take off. In the Central, I was very bullish on the Brewers for a long time. They've cooled off a little bit, and for me, I'm really worried about Christian Yelich right now, Clay. Of course, a former MVP, he's now had a number of different back issues and back injuries that have plagued him, and he came back, he played one game, went right back on the IL. He's a really young player to be having back issues like this. And I heard Joe Girardi say something recently along the lines of, and it wasn't pertaining to Yelich, it was just a general statement, that once you're a back patient, you're always a back patient. And I'm afraid that that's the case for a former MVP who also is one of the classy people in the game as well. So it's a tough bit of news for the Brewers there, and the Cardinals in recent days have gotten some momentum. The one big surprise, though, has been the Giants. Just their rotation, Clay, has been really surprising, and you've got to credit Gabe Kapler there for getting the Giants now potentially back towards the playoffs.
Well, we're talking to John Morosi, our Major League Baseball insider. Braves are going to 100% capacity today in their series against the Phillies, which begins later this afternoon. And also, we've already had the Rangers at basically 100% capacity for a while. When do you think the majority of Major League Baseball teams will be at full capacity? What are you hearing about crowds in MLB stadiums?
Well, Clay, it's certainly going to still be somewhat location dependent. Whenever the
yeah, tell her we said
okay,
hi.
Gabrielle, you can, sweetheart, Daddy's on the air. You can please get some cereal, okay? This is obviously, Clay, normal times of the road.
That is every house in America for the past year.
Oh my gosh! So,
what cereal does she get, by the way? What's her go-to?
More and more teams moving towards 100% capacity. I would say that we will probably see, depending on where you're at in the country, we're seeing more and more teams up now, even around like 30 to 40%. And as you mentioned, with the Braves 100%, the Rangers 100%. So I think by the middle of the year, I've long believed that, obviously following the data as we all have and looking at it, that I think by the middle part of the summer, we'll see more and more stadiums able to do it, because I think that we're seeing that with the safety protocols baseball's put in place, you can do it safely, especially when it's outside in the summertime. So I think baseball does have the calendar in its favor right now, Clay, and I'm optimistic that we'll see more crowds able to be up at least closer to 100% by the middle part of the season.
How surprised are you that the Red Sox have the best record in baseball?
Incredibly surprised. I mean, this is a team, Clay, that I thought was going to be fourth place potentially in this division this year, and their pitching has really surprised me. Nick Pivetta has come along, and that's been impressive for me. But I think the one thing that probably I underrated coming into spring training was the quality of their lineup. JD Martinez is back to being an MVP. So is Xander Bogaerts. Rafael Devers is playing like an all-star again over at third base. That's a group of three players that when they're going, there are not many teams in the AL. I would actually say probably no teams in the AL that have three players that talented and off from an offensive standpoint. So, and in a division where really the Rays have taken a step back, the Yankees have been, by their own standards, pretty mediocre. So there's more of an opportunity there. The Blue Jays, they have not had George Springer, of course, their major free agent signing. He's been injured a lot of the season. So there's an opportunity there, and you got to credit the Red Sox for finding the best way to fill that gap and put together a pretty significant start to the season.
Last question for you. We are sitting right now in 30-ish games into the season. More valuable to look at run differential or overall record? And if we looked at run differential, the White Sox would be the best team in the American League, and the best team in the National League would still be the Dodgers. Do you look at run differential more or total record? Which is a better indicator right now, 30-ish games in?
Yeah, it's a great question, Clay. I look at run differential, especially this early on. You know, at some point, to borrow the Parcells line, you become what your record says you are. But that's usually more towards when you get a little closer to the trade deadline. I start to say, okay, if you're outperforming your run differential, maybe there is something just to the way this blend of players is coming together, and then you start to believe the standings a bit more. But for now, you do look at run differential and expect things to normalize a bit. And I think, you know, one thing about the White Sox that I'm really intrigued by, Clay, is do we see Tony La Russa pursue a reunion with Albert Pujols? Now, of course, we saw the news yesterday about Albert being cut by the Angels. Do we see the White Sox bring Albert Pujols in and Tony and Albert together again for what would be the first time since 2011? So really interesting times there on the South Side.
Good stuff. Get your daughter that cereal. Thank you for coming on with us, John Morosi. We'll talk to you again soon.
I had to find, like, there's one spot in the house where when the kids are all in commotion, I can kind of dart away to and get a couple minutes of quiet. So I'm glad that I was able to do that. And thanks to you and our listeners for their patience this morning.
No worries at all. That is every parent in America, like I said, for the past year. Good stuff. Enjoy the games this weekend.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Hey, Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, let's go ahead and do the Olympics. Maybe we'll play this Nick Saban audio for people at the start of the third hour, because Nick Saban, if you haven't heard, Jimbo Fisher said he was going to kick Nick Saban's ass. Texas A&M was going to beat Alabama at some point. Nick Saban was asked about it and had a pretty funny initial opening response before answering further. But have you guys seen this story out of New Zealand about the woman, biological man who is now a woman, that at 43 years old is likely to make the Olympics, according to some reports, again, out in New Zealand? 35 years old, decides to transition to a woman, and now is a weightlifter and may participate in the Olympics. I'm not sure exactly how these rules go, but in New Zealand, does anybody on the show feel like that is appropriate? My answer is no. Like, you can't let biological men who have been certainly fully men for a long time decide they're going to transition to being a woman, because those men are bigger, stronger, and faster. And it's not a surprise at all, to me anyway, that they would be a lot more accomplished than most women because of the benefits of testosterone and the fact that men are bigger, stronger, and faster. To me, this challenges the very essence of women's athletics if you allow biological men to start to compete. I can't believe this is even a question. I think it's crazy, personally. Danny G, your thoughts?
I mean, to me, it seems fairly obvious that I don't know if we would have enough transgender people to do it, but they would need their own division. Can't mix them into the women's category. It's just not fair, as you've laid out all those points.
Yeah, what about you, Eddie? I find it inconceivable almost that any sports fan could think this is fine.
Yeah, I agree, especially if you're talking about something involving strength or some sort of combat sports. No, that's ridiculous. There's a clear advantage, and the women are being put at risk.
Yeah, and by the way, there's hardly anybody in sports that will even say this, I think, because everybody's so afraid of getting accused of being anti-transgender people. By the way, this is the same position that Caitlyn Jenner had, formerly Bruce Jenner, that this is not a fair transition in terms of being able to compete against women athletes after having been a high-level male athlete, that's just not equitable in terms of being fair in competition. And look, I don't have any problem if somebody wants to change their gender. If that makes you happier and you're an adult, by the way, an adult, then I don't have any problem with it. It's like, I'm not like I'm, oh, you guys, that's not, yeah, this should never happen. Well, I really don't get that concerned about choices that adults make as long as they're legal. But I do think the reason we have a separation between men's and women's sports is because women would never win any sport if there wasn't a separation. That's why there's a gender difference in athletics, because men are bigger, stronger, and faster than women and would win every award. I think I'm accurate in saying this. I don't think there would be a single Olympic medal won, for instance, by a woman if we just had one gender category for everything.
As the only guy on the crew here that has a daughter, no way in heck do I want my daughter having to compete against a biological, you know, female.
Men that decide to transition
exactly.
to woman.
Right
now, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right now, obviously, it's different because she's 5 years old and she's in a co-edited league, which is funny. You know, some of the girls are even better than
most of the time.
Yeah, some of the girls are even better than some of the boys.
Best player, I'm coaching 9-10-year-old baseball right now.
Yeah.
Our best player on the team is a girl.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, she's got a cannon for an arm. She's bigger, tougher, stronger than the boys are. And that's not uncommon in youth league sports.
But when I say she gets older, she wants to play, say, college, and she's going up against, she's a pitcher, she's got to pitch to somebody who used to be a dude, I don't think that's a fair advantage at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's crazy, and I can't believe that we're in this spot where people have allowed this story to develop to the point where we're now talking about potential Olympians, female Olympians, who were born male and lived their entire lives as men, again, this story is out of New Zealand. It's just crazy. And I look at stories like these and I'm like, how do we end up here? And I think the answer is because people are so afraid of this. Somebody's going to call them transphobic or try to take their job. If you say, no, you know what? I think we need separate men's and women's sports leagues. That's the very foundation of competition in America. We separate competition based on gender because men are bigger, stronger, and faster. So allowing a biological man to compete even after transition against a woman seems to me to be fundamentally the opposite of fair competition. All right, when we come back, Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher going at it a little bit. We'll have some fun with you there. And then we are scheduled to be joined by a couple of guests. This is Outkick.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.